Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. That across the table from me is Gavin Durson.
Hello, everybody, and sitting to my right is a good friend of mine we'd like to welcome today is Mr. Dave Toth. Dave, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Gavin, and thanks, Tom. Good to be here with you guys.
And I'm Tom LeComp. Gavin was supposed to introduce me, but that's okay.
Well, we want to talk today primarily with Dave, and Dave, somebody that I'll just say a few words about, and then we'll turn it over to him and let him say a few more. But several years ago, whenever I started working and helping to help folks plant simple churches here in the region, Central Kentucky area, I remember I was kind of feeling a little lonely and feeling like I'd made a huge mistake and that I really didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know anyone else that knew what I was doing or even understood what I was doing. And I got a call from some folks with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and they said, "Hey, we've got this guy that we want you to meet, and we think he'll be an encouragement to you." And I thought, well, this is the end. This will be the guy that they send down here to help me out, who finds out what I'm really trying to do, and then I'm excommunicated from the body of Christ. And lo and behold, it was David, and we were trying to talk about that before we started here. I can't remember if that was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And Dave, I remember the first thing you said to me was, you sat down and you said, "Gavin, I want you to know that I'll be happy to help you with whatever God's, you know, calling you to down here, but I want to just, for sake of full disclosure, I want to let you know that I'm really biased towards the house church movement." And man, I remember that moment realizing that God had really sent me a partner and a friend. And so I've been spending a lot of time with Dave, and Dave, we're glad. We've been wanting to get you in here for a long time because you're kind of like the holy man in this thing, right? So we wanted you to come in here and drop some wisdom on us, but that's all, of course, in fun. But Dave, I really am glad you could be here, and why don't you just start out by telling us a little bit about how you arrived at this table and a little bit about the hats that you wear.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, let me just say it's fun to be a part of what you're doing down here, and so I'm glad that it's been beneficial to get together, and for me, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I
appreciate it. Wow, how did I get here? That's kind of a crazy story. I guess the short story is I was a factory worker many moons ago and decided to go to school to major in party. And I did real well, but the school kicked me out. I couldn't figure that out. I was really doing good at partying. But at any rate, ended up going into the military and then coming out. And after a long discussion with my younger brother, found out about Christ and then got hooked up for the rest of the journey with my wife and I making a decision to follow Christ, and then got back in the educational track to get Bible college and seminary, and man, started pastoring a local church out in Iowa, got my feet wet in ministry, and then moved to another church a few years later in Ohio. Got involved in church planting, and that was exciting. My wife and I had come to Christ in a church plant, and so that was kind of always a part of my mindset, the idea that we've got to start new churches because there's lots more people everywhere, and we've got to reach them, and it just seemed sensible to me before I knew all of the theological and rational reasons why we should plant churches. It just seemed to me it was the right thing to do. And since we came to Christ in a church plant, smaller churches were always just really special to me. Then after a while, we ended up going overseas and did 8 years in Hungary and all over Eastern Europe, It was my responsibility as part of a church planting team to teach about mentoring. Mentoring, how do you mentor up new believers in a new church who had no idea what it meant to be a leader in the church? How do you raise these people up? How do you help them to take responsibility for leadership and get involved? And so I did that, and that was just really exciting. And I still am embracing that same ministry on behalf of MentorLink International. I live here now, and so I go back and forth and spend a lot of time in an airplane seat. But while I'm here, I also help guys like Gavin to do, you know, that kind of thing. So as a result of a relationship with the district office, found out about what Gavin was doing down here in Lexington, and that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember, 3-4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And since that time, we've been getting together, I guess, once every month or two.
Yeah.
Have some discussions, drink a lot of coffee, laugh about what we did wrong, and cry about what God seems to be doing and wanting to do, and and we're not doing. but I guess that's kind of the big picture story. I want to throw in real quick, you know, it's been exciting to be in the support of my wife, who doesn't get involved in the ministry all that much, but behind the scenes in prayer, it's been really special. Yeah. To know that even on a day like today when I come down here, I know that Marion is praying about that God would give us both wisdom and we'd have a meaningful time together and have some fun together at the same time. So
yeah,
that's kind of the big story.
Well, one thing, Dave, maybe you could share a little bit, and I remember you've talked to me a bit about this, but I'd love to hear it again, about how something changed when you, because you were a part of planning more of traditional types of churches.
Yeah,
and then
right.
And then you left the United States to primarily serve and lived yeah. overseas, and you were living over there helping mm-hmm. through MentorLink, discipling and raising up leaders. And something changed that when you've come back, I mean, when I met you, that you led to you sharing that statement with me that said, you know, I've become a believer and I'm biased toward the house church movement. Maybe just share a little bit about yeah. that process and why that was so.
Well, I don't remember all the details of exactly what I said at that time, but as I reflect on that right now, there's kind of like two pages that really ultimately resulted in that transitional shift. The first one actually started overseas. You know, we're in Eastern Europe, and a lot of church planting in Eastern Europe, not unlike many mission fields around the world, is really supported by Western resources. And that's a blessing. God has blessed our country and our economy with funding, and we've got a lot of believers who give graciously and liberally to assist churches to get planted around the world. And Eastern Europe was no exception. However, in 2008, when the financial bust took place, that, you know, the mission world felt the hit the same as everybody else did. And it was interesting because I had talked about the idea of alternative church planting, like house churches, in a few places over in Eastern Europe, and really they didn't want to hear it. And I kind of understood why, because nobody really wanted to fund alternative approaches to church planting. However, when the bust took place and the finances started to be reduced, all of a sudden there was a renewed interest in church planting models that were not so heavily reliant upon outside resources. And all of a sudden, I was getting emails and phone calls to go and talk to some of these people about planting house churches, whereas before, they really didn't want to talk that much. So that provided a platform. I got more involved in it, and the more I got involved in it, the more I started to love on it. And then when we moved back to the United States and we're looking at churches and wondering, you know, where do we want to settle down and find a church, etc. One of the things that really was going through our mind is we want to hook up with a church that loves church planting, wants to reproduce itself. But we found a lot of churches that were in love with sidewalks and building buildings and adding on to their foyer. And wow, I really started to contemplate that. I'm not against buildings necessarily, but when I saw so much effort and resource being put into infrastructure, it caused me to continue to focus on the house church. And so we began to get hooked up with some small groups and helped one church to transition from a traditional model and at least get small groups up and running with the idea that that would become more of a house church thing. It was just wonderful to sit around a living room with a cup of coffee and talk about what God's doing and how we could help one another to grow in our lives and do life together. Apart from all the traditional organizational constructs, we knew that is where we were at. We're thankful for all churches, big, small, and every different kind of model. But for Marion and I, the house church is just where we can sit down, get comfortable, and enjoy the presence of God and walk with other people that you get close to, you get to know, they care for you, you care for them. And so that's kind of the way it happened for us.
Yeah.
Cool.
I got lots of questions I could throw at Dave. What about you, Tom?
You go ahead.
Well, I guess one thing, you know, we've talked about, I think it's really interesting to hear you share a little bit about some of the people you're presently working with in Eastern Europe. Maybe you could just kind of give a couple profiles. You know, obviously, about what we're trying to do here, and folks that might listen to this probably are listening to it because they want to be a part of that. But I've always been encouraged to hear about other people who are not just trying to do a traditional church meeting in a house or an apartment because that's what they have to, but are really embracing the whole idea of small participatory church gatherings that are reproduced and really centered around discipleship, with church kind of being the product of discipleship rather than starting a church and trying to make disciples. But I know that's some things that you're seeing in Eastern Europe and working even with some people directly that are a part of that. Maybe you could share a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, well, one example is a guy out in Western Latvia. The fella is a product of the Baptist Union, which is a traditional denomination in Latvia, the Baptist denomination. He's got a traditional background, and he's a great guy. He's married, got a couple kids, young fella. And he went to the Baptist Pastoral Institute to get some training. And while he was there, he just really started thinking about how he would go back to his home region in Western Latvia and do ministry. And the more that he thought about it, the more he realized that the traditional model would require him to do a lot of activities that he wasn't all that excited about. Not that they're bad, not that they're wrong, but he didn't see himself as being a fundraiser. He really wanted to go and really initiate ministries. And so through a process of prayer, as he relates to me, God gave him this vision for planning a bunch of house churches around this region in Western Latvia. If you're familiar with Latvia, Liepāja is a city way out on the western coast, and where this guy's at is just a little bit east inland from Liepāja. And he's in the process. He's already got a couple house churches up and running, and they're in the process of starting a few others. They start by doing a kind of a traditional Bible study type thing. People are interested in reading the Bible, that's a venue that works there in Western Latvia. And so they get some people who are interested. They're lost people, but they're looking for some meaning in life, and they've got issues and problems. And so this guy starts this discussion to help them to see how God provides answers for them. And then as that group grows, he transitions it very slowly, almost seamlessly. You never really know that there's a big difference, and all of a sudden they're doing a lot of the functions of the church, equipping people, they're praying together, they're eating together a whole lot, drinking a lot of coffee together, and telling their neighbors about Christ. And so he's got, like I said, two or three up and running, and there's several, I'd say maybe three or four, that are in different stages around the region. So that is an example from Latvia that is that's really an exciting example.
Cool. That was one of the things that attracted me to the house church years ago. I've been involved in about 11 years, I guess, and before that I was on the mission field and then in seminary. But the thing that attracted me to the house church model, the simple church model, is how available it is, how easy it is, how accessible it is on the mission field. And I remember working in Kenya in the 90s and worked with a lot of missionaries who were doing church planting. And of course they were planting churches according to that Western model that
they
would eventually have a pastor who would eventually have some sort of building and programs and things like that. And I remember when the church was young and it was meeting under a shade tree in Kenya, that church was vibrant. It was excited. You know, they were new believers. When they started adding these things like, oh, now we have to put a roof over us. Now we have to hire a staff. Something was diminished in that church. It started becoming a maintenance church. You know, they were maintaining the building, they were raising the money, things like that. So a lot of their effort was going into maintenance. So what are the expectations in Europe about if a missionary comes over and says, I'm going to plant a church, what are their expectations? Is it going to be a building with a staff with programs, or I hear you saying that you're trying to change that model and or at least give them an alternative.
Yeah, there's a few different approaches. The traditional approach is where a expat missionary goes into the field and maybe he has a burden to plant a church, and so he will go and find a place to do that. He'll secure funding from some source, usually back in North America. And then a traditional approach is find a building to rent to start out with and begin to develop relationships with people, and oftentimes end up starting with believers in the hopes that they will invite friends, lost friends, make more relationships, see some people come to Christ, and begin a work out of a rented building, and the ministry is pretty much centralized. But the house church is a bit different approach, and it requires indigenous leadership, and that's one of the things that I get excited about, because if you're going to be successful in getting people into your home, the most successful person to do that is going to be the indigenous national. And so, for instance, if you're working in Hungary, it's really important to see a Hungarian open up their home and begin a house church. And a missionary, and I have been in that role, who helps such a model, never really leads up front. It's almost a no-no. If you're a missionary and you like that model and you want to facilitate that, you do that from behind the scenes. And you will meet with the home person who is a leader and who wants to start a house church. You'll get together with that person behind the scenes and, you know, help them to understand how they can develop their house church ministry. But you will be very reticent to be a leader in the house church meeting. Because it's important for people in the house church to see that everybody has the opportunity to hear what God wants to do in their lives, and they might want to go and start a house church too. And if the idea gets planted that it takes an expert or a professional type leader, then that really quenches the potential for growth and reproduction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that kind of gets to the core of your answer. Yeah. Or your question.
Well, and Dave, don't you feel like, you know, this is this is exactly what we're trying to encourage here in the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very different type of leadership model, but I think one that's sorely needed. And I think for a lot of people, to rub up against leadership that operates like that is refreshing. But yet, it seems like for a lot of people, it's also something that is not refreshing. I mean, for a lot of people, I think Christian folks in particular, that type of leadership is something that there's resistance to that kind of leadership. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, in a short time like this, it would be hard to unpack a Christian historical lesson, but there's a lot of reasons why we've ended up where we have. But let me just make a few positive remarks. There are a lot of people today, especially, I think, people that are new to Christ in particular, who want to find a place at the table. And in the house church, there's a place at the table.
Yeah.
It's the leadership does not rest on someone who has a particular degree, but leadership rests on someone who has ears to hear God, who has a heart to obey God, who desires to follow Christ and stay just as close to Christ as you can. For that person, there's a place at the table. And so that's why I'm excited about House Church, and I can tell you there's a lot of young people that are too. And even, now I just turned 65 the other day, so I'm an old man, but I got to tell you, as I interact with a lot of my friends who are somewhere close to the same age as I am, they're also becoming enamored with the House Church idea because, hey, we've only got maybe 15, 20, 25 years left, and we want to make them count. And just like I said about the young person, for us old timers, there's a place at the table. There's exciting things to do in a house church where opportunities are more, I think, prevalent than in many traditional organized ways, that there's a lot of boundaries, a lot of requirements, and a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, I've often said that I feel like that the folks that are entering retirement or even retired individuals, they're just such an untapped resource. I think a lot of times in traditional churches, you know, youth sometimes can be valued more so than wisdom and age. And I just really have prayed and continue to pray that God would really give this vision and help that population of the retired folks realize that, man, what an untapped resource. They have time available. They have wisdom to give. They have life experience to share. And if they're willing and able to be open to something new, which sometimes is the downside.
Yeah.
I think when you've done something, every year you do something one way, it's that much harder to not do it that way. But what an opportunity, and that is encouraging to hear you say that. And I see cracks in that door too for that community. Well, thanks, Dave, for sharing with us. We might keep you around and have you back for a few more podcasts. And Dave will be joining us, and we'll talk about that here real soon too. But Dave will be really playing a key role in our Simple Church Conference that we have coming up this September, and there's information about that at simplechurchalliance.com. You can register now. And we're looking forward to having Dave and join Tom and I for a wonderful 24-hour period that we hope that you can join us for. So thanks for joining us, Dave, and we'll have you back soon.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Been great.
All right.
We want to take just a few minutes today and talk just briefly about the Simple Church conference that we have coming up in September. Dave is going to be joining Tom and I, and we're going to have a 24-hour time for folks to come and be encouraged. And no matter where you're at, if you're just thinking about Simple Church, you're just interested in learning more, or if you've been doing this for longer than all of us here at the table combined, this will be a great opportunity for us all to come together and to encourage each other, talk about issues that are relevant to Simple Church and discipleship multiplication, and meet some people face-to-face. I think I can speak for all of us. Our hope would be is that if you're new to this, you're thinking about doing it, that if nothing else, you'll come, you'll meet someone that will be committed to walking with you down this road for the next few years as you get started. So that's a little bit about what it's about. I don't know, Dave, what are your thoughts about the conference and why it's important?
Well, we've had a couple of them before, and I got to tell you, I'm already excited about the one coming up. Each time you meet some new people, different people from different areas that are doing house church, and no house church is the same. Every one of them just got a little different personality, and it's always a lot of fun, exciting to hear about different house churches, what it looks like, how they conduct themselves, how they work issues out like prayer and children and what they do for worship and how they're equipping each other and reaching neighbors. So, man, that's exciting. And this one coming up in September, I think it's going to be a fun time. I know, Gavin, you and I have talked about a little bit about the schedule and what we're going to try to cover, and I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I know one of the themes that kind of keeps resonating in my mind as I think about this conference is the idea that Simple Church is really more than a meeting. And we may talk a little bit about Simple Church meetings, but, as I've prayed about this, and my sense is that I really hope that people can come and really take away that Simple Church, to me, Simple Church is nothing more than Great Commission living. And Simple Church is kind of a byproduct of that mission, of that endeavor, of linking up with your spouse, if you're married, your family, or a friend, and saying, let's go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching people to obey all that Jesus commanded, and let's do that, and let's start right here in our own neighborhood or our own sphere of influence. And that it really is a reorienting of really the way you think about what it means to follow Christ in our day and time. And so I really hope and pray that, one of the things, my prayers for folks is that they would really walk away kind of with that paradigm and that completely different shift of understanding of what does it mean to be a Christian and follow Christ. Because I think, it just like in a traditional church, I'm sure there's probably a traditional church conference somewhere today that's being held under that same idea. We want to help people see that it's more than just coming to a meeting.
Yeah.
Well, that can happen in Simple Church as well. We just simply can change. If you're a Christian, you just switch up the type of meeting you go to, and there might be some benefits, I would say, from doing that, quite honestly, but it's far more than that. And so that's one of my prayers for the conference.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be September 20th, 21st. I'm going to actually get off work this time and get here. We're going to have some great speakers. We're going to have some great breakout sessions. So anything you're interested in learning about, like we said, how do you deal with children? How do you do hospitality? What do you do with heresy, false teaching, things like that? You can learn all about it. One of the things I enjoy the most is the networking, mm-hmm. Meeting the people from other regions and getting to know them and establishing those friendships, relationships. If you can make it, it's great. It's going to be in Wilmore, Kentucky at Asbury Seminary at the Asbury Inn. We are located just south of Lexington, Kentucky, the most beautiful horse country you've ever seen. We're less than 4 hours from Cincinnati or Indianapolis or Nashville or Knoxville or Louisville, Lexington. you can get up in the morning, drive down, and spend the night, drive back the next day. It's no problem.
Yeah, and the cost for the conference, you know, we're not trying to get rich on this. Just make sure we get our bases covered. But it's $40 if you live locally and you don't plan to spend the night. It's $40. That will include your meal and some refreshments. We'll have a kind of a talk-back session in the evening, and we'll have some refreshments and things for you there, as well as dinner on Saturday. If you would like to spend the night, you can do that as well. That's just simply $80, so for one night per person. So you can sign up. There's also options if you want to come in a night early and enjoy the campus, walk around, enjoy Wilmore, Lexington area. You can do that as well. And all that information, you can sign up today on with credit card at simplechurchalliance.com. Right up at the top, there's a little page for says Simple Church Conference. Just click on that. All the information you should need would be right there. And like I said, space at the inn where it is somewhat limited, so I encourage you, if you're going to be coming from out of town, go ahead and sign up as soon as possible. And we're really looking forward to having you, and hope that, as we've joked before, the two or three of you that listen to this podcast, we can actually meet you. That'd be great. So.
Oh, come on, give us credit. We're up to six or seven now. Come on. But yeah, if first come first serve at the Asbury Inn for lodging, but there are lots of great hotels in the Nicholasville, Lexington, Wilmore, even Danville. Yeah. If you want to come, or Harrodsburg, and it's beautiful country. Make a holiday out of it. Make a little vacation. So come on.
Hope to see you.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.